June 18th, 1815. That happened to be a very decisive day of the world history. Why? Because that is the day that Europe made a big difference. Napoleon, who was exiled to this island of Elba, was gathering up his troops of 75,000, including all guards. And they were preparing to come back to the Europe and to reclaim the territory they once had. And they came in without notice, and they marched in through the gate of the Paris. Nobody could stop them except Prussia and England. England, the Duke of Duke of Wellington, he's a British commander in chief, and he volunteered to stop him at Waterloo. This is the day, and they were fighting for it, literally going after the control of entire Europe. And England realized that they can be at the mercy of Napoleon, so they post the signal ship at the channel of Dover. And they're waiting for the what kinds of news they would get. It's not the time they could just turn the TV on and watch the end of the, or the embedded reporter in the military. So they were waiting. And finally, the fog started setting in, and they can barely see the signal ship. And then two words showed up: Wellington defeated. And fog was dense, so they couldn't see anymore. Heart of the watchman sank. However, he was diligent enough to pass the message to the other towers. In a matter of a few minutes, the wildfire set all over the England with the despair and the depression. Wellington is defeated. That means it's a matter of time for the Napoleon Bonaparte to come in to lay claim of the England. So they were waiting, and they're just hoping that best something would happen. Now somehow fog lifted up. To get their attention, signal ship fired a cannon, and they sent them one more word: Napoleon. That complete the third word, complete the message. And all of a sudden, that third word changed the entire mindset of the England people. That complete the message by saying, Wellington defeated Napoleon. Like that, on the third day after the death of Jesus Christ, people's heart, the disciples' heart turned from despair and disappointment and depression to liberty and joy and true freedom in Christ Jesus. Why? What was the last word? He is risen. Christianity, the foundation of Christianity, the whole thing is based on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If he's still dead, that means he was conquered by death. That means he is the slave of death, that means we are also slave of death. He couldn't overcome the death, and he is not true God. But he conquered the death. And what we hear that famous old words thing, death, that's not started by Shakespeare. It was by Bible. Let's have a word of God, a word of prayer before we go on. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that we're about to receive. And we have a joy and peace in you because he is risen. And he is risen indeed. Open our heart to receive your word. Speak to our heart. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 27 of verse 62, please. 27, Matthew 62. On the next day, which followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered together to Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember while he was still alive how that deceiver said, After 3 days I will rise. Therefore command that the tomb has been made be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say to people, he has risen from the dead. So the last deception will be worse than the first. Pilate said to him, you have a guard, go your way and make it as secure as you know how. So they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting the guard. Before we go any further, let me just let you know, we are going to finish this grand book, Matthew, today, and we are going to start Revelation. So we're going from one end to another end. I want you to start to read the book of Revelation, please. And it is a very, very interesting book. And some of you guys will say, well, Revelation is a difficult book. No, it's not a difficult book. If you choose to make it difficult, it can be very difficult. But if you open your heart and ask God to reveal to your heart, He will. And to aid that, I'm going to provide you, from the fourth chapter, I'm going to provide you entire Revelation in chronological order. I've seen some of the people making the chapters in chronological order, but I will give you the chart, and it will have every verse mentioned in the Bible from chapter 4 to chapter 22 in chronological order format. It will help you a great deal. And there's a lot of symbolism, however, that we will explain that while we're studying. So prepare that and read ahead, please. All right, we just read this thing. Jesus died, and seems like everything is a stop there. A lot of people think that Jesus died on Friday, so they start the word Good Friday. How many of you guys believe that Jesus died on Friday? How many of you? Now nobody raised a hand. Just one. All right. How many believe that Jesus died on Saturday? Sunday? Monday? Going once, going twice. Okay, Thursday. How many believe that he died on Thursday? Few. Okay, how many think that you don't care? Raise your hand. The rest of you have got to raise your hand somewhere. All right. He died on Thursday. Why? This is not any Passover. This is not any Sabbath. This is a Passover Sabbath. What's the special about Passover Sabbath? Passover Sabbath has two Sabbath days. Saturday and Friday. Not only that, to confirm my belief is good. Matthew chapter 12, verse 40, we just studied some time ago. I'll just read it to you. As the Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a great fish, so will the Son of Man will be the 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. I don't care what the people say, but I go by what Jesus say. If he says 3 days and three nights, that means 3 days and three nights, not 2.5 days. That means the Sabbath starts, the Jewish calendar, they start from the 6 o'clock afternoon. So he died at 3 o'clock, and he was buried in the tomb before the 6 o'clock Thursday night. So you count one, Thursday is the day of preparation we just read. And the Friday is a Sabbath. Saturday is a Sabbath. He was risen on Sunday. So that's almost to the 72 hours. So that gives proof that it's 3 days and three nights. Religious leaders, they had an excuse to, they had a reason to backtrack from what they had, what they believed. They could have said, you know what, by looking at what he said, what he done on the cross, and the whole earth become dark, whole heaven become dark, and the veil of the temple torn from top to bottom, 60 feet tall and 30 feet wide, 10 inches thick, leather thonged ribbon through together, and that was torn from top to bottom. Maybe I should connect dot A, dot B. Oh, what do you know? Jesus is the Messiah. They could have come up with that kind of conclusion, but they chose not to. And now they're trying to cover up, they're trying to secure the situation so that he would not raise up again. In other words, they refused to believe Jesus Christ is the Messiah. They refused the truth, and they refused to believe they need a Savior. In this size of congregation, I would say there's some of you who would refuse to believe what they are supposed to believe. I don't doubt that there are some of you that are sitting there and are thinking that, well, I don't need Jesus Christ. I'm doing my religious duty. If you're thinking that, you are sadly mistaken. What's the reason why you're refusing the truth? You need a Savior. I need a Savior. Just like all the people in the world, in human history. Come to Jesus today. I'll give you opportunity later. Now, remember what they did. They put the seal on the tomb. They put the rope around this stone. This stone is a kind of, you can say rolling stone. They kind of roll it over to the mouth of the cave and stick it there and put the rope around and put the seal on each side. That's not just any seal. It's a wax with a seal of emperor, empire of Rome. Will you mess up with that seal? You break the seal, you touch the stone, you roll the stone, that means you are messing with the authority of the Roman Empire. Guess what the punishment is for that? Death. Capital punishment. So this is a prime situation, and what they did, and they set the guard average, I think it's in the squadron in the Roman unit is a 4. So at least 4 trained soldiers guarding this dead man's tomb with the Roman seal on each side of the stone. That reminds me of Revelation chapter 20, please. Revelation, let's do the preview or sneak preview of the Revelation chapter 20, verse 1. If you cannot find a Revelation, it's a way in the back. If you went into the concordance, you went too far. Revelation chapter 20, verse 1. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit known as abyss, and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, which means Satan, that serpent of old, and who is the devil and the Satan, bound him for 1,000 years. He cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up, and what? Set a seal. Guess what? What do you know? Table is turned this time. All right, let's go back. This affirms the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Why? Because we know that Roman guards would not guard this empty tomb. They knew that this man is buried there, and they are guarding that tomb. This gives us a great proof that he was dead and he is buried. By the way, what happened to the pilot? And there is some tradition says that about a year later from the crucifixion, he got emotionally upset and he was politically disturbed. So he resigned from the position of a governor of the Judea and went to the Gaul, which is Germany now, went up there and eventually committed suicide. After all, he was not so innocent from this innocent man's blood. Let's go to the verse 1 of chapter 28. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and come and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and began like dead men. And the angel answered and said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, as he said." Kind of reminder there. "Come see," underline please, "come see the place where the Lord laid, and go quickly tell," underline go tell please, "disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." Two women, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, came to finish what they started. because it kind of cut short because of Sabbath. They came to finish the embalming the body of Jesus Christ. Theologically, they were wrong because they're supposed to believe the resurrection of Jesus Christ. However, devotionally, they were doing right on the mark. They are ministering to the body of Jesus Christ. We just read the stone was rolled away. Is it for the Jesus Christ for him to come out? No, he already left. He got up early. He's an early riser. He got up early and he left. Some of you guys are not early risers. I'm not either, and I'm the night owl. Anyway, he didn't need somebody to roll the stone away. Why? Because he is resurrected. He has a resurrected body. That means he can go through the wall, in which we see in other gospel, he walked through the wall. And he appeared himself to his disciples. It was not rolled away because of he need to get out, but it was rolled away for us to see the proof that the tomb is empty. What did they see inside the tomb? They saw this linen that wrapped around his body is still in body shape because, you've seen the bugs, the cocoon, the bug gets out and every part of that intricate bug has detail is all stayed there. Just like that, Jesus walked out from that linen. 1885, General Gordon, the godly man, somehow he discovered this tomb, the tomb of Jesus Christ. And first thing he did is pick up the soil around the area where the body should have been laid, and he gave it to the chemist. And asked the chemist to check if there is any decomposition of the dead body in the soil. They checked. Guess what happened? Nada. There's no decay in the soil. So in other words, that tomb has been almost like nobody was using it. Was not been occupied. So we have to understand the meaning of the resurrection before we go any further. The resurrection is not complete without the atonement on the cross. Atonement on the cross is not complete without the resurrection. Why? Atonement on the cross, he paid our sin. He became an atoning sacrifice to die for our sin. Because there's no remission without the blood. So he became a sacrificing Lamb of God, and he made a payment. And the resurrection happened to be the receipt of that payment. When he said, "It is finished," tetelestai, he claimed, it means, as I said before last week, it paid in full. So he paid everything in full, and what God said in heaven, and what he did is he tore the veil of the temple from top to bottom. That's his resounding amen to what Jesus did on the cross. I should underline a couple of things. Come and see and go and tell. Before we go out and tell people about Jesus Christ, we must come see what happened on the cross, what happened in the tomb. I'm going to revisit this thing by end of this teaching. However, we have to understand about what Jesus did through the Word of God, by faith, then we can go out and tell people. This is first, in my opinion, first the gospel direction or command from angel to us, go and tell. Why this woman was used to be the first messenger of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Because they were available. While this big shot, hot shot disciple were hiding their face so they don't get caught dead, this woman came out to minister to Jesus Christ. Let's go to verse 8. So they went out quickly from the tomb and with a fear and great joy and ran to bring the disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "Rejoice." And then some of your virgins said, "All hail." And that's the kind of way we say, "Yo, howdy." So they went and they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. And then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go tell my brethren on the line, go tell my brethren to go to Galilee. And there they will see me. You know, Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. His disciples split. When he was dying on the cross, he was tortured. Peter cursed and they denied Jesus Christ. When he was dying on the cross, everybody took off except John. He was all alone. If I were him, I wouldn't say, go tell my brother and I will meet them at the Sea of Galilee. I would say, tell those idiots, I will see them and I have give them a lesson I have a lesson for them to have. And they are in hot water. See, God is different than what we would say. He has a grace upon grace for us. He forgives us, and His mercy renews every morning. Did you notice the two women He used, first gospel messenger? There's three reasons I see. Number one, generally, woman has more keen sensitivity toward God than man. If you don't believe me, look around. There's more women in here than men. They seek God more in general. Second thing, two women are available, as I said. While the other guys are hiding, they were available. Third thing is that Jesus knew if he tell to a woman, the words would get spread a whole lot faster. You know, telephone, telegram, tell a woman. Let's go to verse 11. Now while they were going, behold, some of the guards came into the city and reported to the chief priest and all the things that had happened. When they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, tell them his disciple came at night and stole him away while we slept. Underline, while we slept, please. We'll go there later. And if this came to the governor's ear, we will appease him and make you secure. So they took the money and did what they were instructed. And this saying is a commonly reported among the Jews until this day. See, these people, the Jewish leaders, they moved from the conspiracy to murder and to the bribery. They tried to cover up. Mark Twain said once, the lie will go around the world while the truth is still lacing up her boots. Lie spreads a whole lot faster. These religious is the same people who gave money to the Jews to betray Jesus. And they are now giving money to the soldiers as a bribery to shut them up. Employing the deceitfulness and treachery and mob psychology, now they're using bribery to shut up the truth. I asked you on the line while they're sleeping. How would they know if they're really sleeping? How would they know it was the disciples? Unless they were pretending and sleeping and open their eyes, squinting and then looking at them. That's the one okay situation. Number two, according to the Roman military law, if you are sleeping on your guard duty and you mess up your guard duty, guess what happened to them? They get killed. Guess what happened to these guys? Instead of getting killed, next morning they drove up with the BMW convertible chariot. What happened? They got money from somewhere and they haven't got killed and they lost their guard duty. So their concocted story does not make sense. It's not logical. There was a humorous letter was submitted to the editor of the Christian magazine. I'll just read it to you because this is really good. How many of you guys heard the soon theory? Soon theory. It means, soon means Jesus really didn't die. He was kind of soon. He kind of passed out. So he looked like a dead person on the cross. So they put him in the grave and he just came back alive. This is the letter from somebody. Dear editor, our preacher said on Easter that Jesus was just soon on the cross, that his disciples came back to health. What do you think? sincerely bewildered. This is a letter from the editor. Dear bewildered, beat your preacher with a cat of nine tails with a 39 heavy lashes, nail him on the cross, hang him in the sun for 6 hours, run a spear through his heart, embalm him, put him in the airless tomb for 36 hours. See what happened. I bet he came alive. According to this Sun theory, let's think about it, okay? Let's say I'm a Jesus. I've been beat up, 39 lashes, and my skin's been torn, all of that, and I've been stepped on the heel, and my wrist's been nailed both sides, and my fist's been nailed. Okay, I woke up in the middle of the night because the cold dampness brought me back. I've never heard any medical people tell me cold dampness bring people back. Anyway, that Sun theory says, so I came back alive, and then I moved a one-ton rolling stone from inside where there's no hold, okay? I just used my pierced hand to roll that thing away, and then with my beat-up body pierced the side, and jumped on these four professional Roman guards who have spears and sword, jumped on and beat the snot out of them, and then I ran away with my pierced feet. If you believe that, you have more faith than I do. Okay, how many of you guys believe that? Oh, you're not as dumb as I thought. Ooh, I'm dead now, right? This evidence demands verdict. The more you think about it, the more you will find that this is a proven fact. Resurrection is true. People want to deny it. As long as they can deny the resurrection of Jesus Christ, they can demolish entire Christianity, as I said before. If you think that somebody took the body of Jesus Christ, if the Roman soldier took it, where did he hide? Where did they hide? As a matter of fact, the entire Christianity destroyed the entire Roman Empire eventually. If that's the case, why didn't they produce the body of Jesus Christ? They could have demolished the Christianity. If you believe the disciple took the body away, that means it's this deception. If you look at the 11 disciples' death, every one of them died in tragedy, exception of John the Baptist. However, John the Baptist was boiled. They tried to make him the tempera. And he didn't die. Thomas was lanced through. James, the older one, the larger one, he was beheaded, the first martyr. And Peter was killed upside down, hanged upside down. All these people die because they firmly believe that Jesus Christ is risen and because they saw Jesus Christ, risen Savior. Not only that, there were 500 people witness, and it's recorded time after time. You deny that. You deny the truth. Let's go to the verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away to Galilee and to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority, underline, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore, make a disciple of the all nation." Underline, go please. Therefore, make a disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And underline name, please. It's very important, name. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Jesus could show up with his resurrected body to the Pilate and the chief priest and say, "Boo!" Scared snot out of them. However, he didn't waste his time. He came to those who believe in him and those who need the living hope. Go, this word is in tense wise, is continuing tense. That means is a present tense. In other words, there was as you are going, not just go one time. As you go to the grocery store, as you go to the school, as you go to the workplace, as you go home, as you go wherever you go, whatever you do, spread the word. Tell them about risen Savior. Which one is more important, somebody asked me? Which one? Evangelism or discipleship? I answer, both. You cannot have a discipleship unless you evangelize. And while once they come to Christ Jesus, you cannot just leave them alone as a newborn baby. You have to disciple them. They have to grow in the Word of God. Some of you guys have been born again, and you haven't grown up a whole lot because you are not seeking God's face. You are not seeking in the Word. This is something you have to do it every day. How many of you guys eat at least once a day? How many of you guys don't eat at all? And none of you raise your hand. That means you guys are eating at least once a day. If you're willing to feed your physical body once a day, why shouldn't you feed your spiritual body once a day? It's that important. How are you going to feed your body? The Word of God. Get into the Word of God. This coming to Christ, evangelism, and then discipleship, and those people who got stronger in the Word, they will go out, evangelize, and then discipleship again. This is a healthy cycle. We have to continue to go on. Otherwise, church will not grow. Church will decay. And pretty soon we're going to have dead church. Sunday morning, when we come here, there's a two purpose. One is evangelism. Another one is the teaching. Midweek service is more in for the teaching. To support that, we have a Monday night discipleship class, what we call Home Fellowship, led by the Jim Parker here, right in the front. And it's going very well. And we have evangelism and missions ministry, led by my friend Barry Smith over there. So we are reaching out both directions. And guess what? It's not just us, those who get involved in the ministry. It's all of your job. All right. Let's make an application. Number one, when we make ourselves available to the Lord to be used by Him, guess what? He will. As I said before, God does not need somebody who is capable. God needs somebody who is available. Just simply say, I am here to be used by God, then God will use you. Second thing, the love of Jesus will never go unnoticed by God. Love of Jesus will never go unnoticed by God. John chapter 20, verse 15, I believe. Mary Magdalene was sitting there and crying, and there's a guy somewhere, looked like a gardener. And so she asked him, Sir, I'll just read it to you, Sir. If you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him. I will take him away. Now, let's say Jesus Christ, the average Joe, and somewhere around 170 pounds, 180 pounds. By the time they embalmed him, they will have to add the spice and the linen of somewhere around 40 to 60 pounds. That means what be 240 to 250 pounds. Unless she is a bully biker chick, she cannot just pick him up and the 240-pound guy and carry over his shoulder. She's not thinking. However, because she loves him so much, that really didn't matter to her. Her love for God didn't go unnoticed. And she became the first messenger of the gospel and the first messenger of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Third thing, spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ is not limited to the pastors or deacons and the elders or those who are involved in the ministries. Guess what? As I said before, that's a job for all of you. If you are a born-again Christian, that is a job for you. Come and see and go and tell. All right? Let's stand up and pray for